Welcome to Crash Concepts, where the economy, energy, and the environment are explored. Up next, fresh ideas and insights into the factors that are driving the world and shaping your future. Presenting information you can't afford to live without, here's Chris Martinson.
Welcome, everybody, to this Peak Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Chris Martinson. It is October 19th, 2017. I'm here with Becca Martinson today.
Hey, everybody.
So listen, here's what we're going to talk about today. You know, the model of Peak Prosperity is knowing, doing, then being. The knowing, of course, is things like following geopolitics. It's the crash course. It's monetary policy. It's understanding the context of the day we live in, the times we live in. But knowing without doing, kind of useless. So we ask people to step into doing. We talk about a lot of that in Prosper. The doing, of course, is, yes, storing food, starting a garden, creating richer social networks, all of that. And then there's a third aspect of this, which is being, which is, can I be completely honest? This is a really rough time compared to recently to be alive. It's a lot of stress out there. For those who have the knowing context, it's even double tough because often you're leading two lives. You know how messed up everything is, and your dominant culture is saying, watch the Kardashians. Wait, Bitcoin is amazing. Hold on, Elon Musk is going to solve all this, but deep down, you know that that's just not cutting it. And increasingly, I run into young people who've gone one of two paths. Either they've shut down and they can't look at any of this, or they've fallen into, I guess, despair or a form of hopelessness, which says, wow, you guys, we're messing this up and I don't see anybody actually addressing it in the way it needs to be truly addressed, which is a way of saying our dominant culture isn't supporting the new directions that we all know we want to go in. In fact, often they're actively fighting against it. Small example, let's imagine in the town I live in, which is Montague, Massachusetts, I wanted to buy a 5-acre lot and put tiny houses on there because that makes sense. People could buy houses that they could live in for $30,000 or $40,000 at tops. Could I do that?
Nope.
That would not be allowed. We need lots to be a certain size because this is how we do it. And we need to have certain building codes because this is how we do it and all of that. And I'm not saying those are bad things, but if it results in houses that are a minimum of $250,000 to build new, but closer to $350,000 and people can't afford it, we are now slaves to our rules and an old paradigm rather than actively living into this new future as it's unfolding before us. And look, Beck and I have a very important seminar coming up. It's the first time we're really offering a deeper part of just around the being. Mm-hmm. Now, at the last seminar we had, I unveiled some really new thinking, right? We had a room full of people. I actually unveiled some of my thinking around this being part. You did your own part. I'll let you speak to that, of course, in a second. But what I did was I said, hey, one of the things I've noticed is that our culture is highly masculine. We really support and we like people to be decisive and leadership potential. And we want people to be rational and buttoned up and logical and all of that. Not that there's anything wrong with those particular attributes, but if that's all you have is a reductionistic approach, you end up in a very reductionistic place. And this is where we are, say, with agriculture. Hey, we reduced it to three big inputs, NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. You do a little watering at the right time. It all works until you understand how out of relationship that is with the natural cycles, with the soils, with how monocrops are nothing like how nature was intending for all of this to work. And so we need a more relational approach to farming, for instance. And then we have to start talking about the feminine attributes, that it's time for the feminine to come back, not as a strategy so the masculine can get more of what it wants, but because the balance is necessary. Kiana Scotzi, the Hopis, talked about a life out of balance. And the old legend says that when a village got so far out of balance, the only thing that was left to do for the gods, the underworld gods, was to come and burn the whole place down. And that's what they did because they were so far out of balance, there was no recovery. They had to start over. In the Hindu tradition, it might be Kali, that cultures understand, older cultures, that sometimes you go so far over the tip of your skis that all that's left is a wipeout. And so that's what I talked about was this whole idea of being, wrapping some of the organizing idea around the masculine and the feminine and asking how we can bring those things back. And it was really well received. A lot of people said, hey, I want more of that. For the people who did want more of it, they didn't get enough. For people who didn't come from for that, they said, hey, I wanted less of that. So what we decided to do was say, well, let's just offer something that's just around this. It's going to be very elite. We're asking that people have already attended one of the earlier seminars or to check in with us and let us know, because we do have some people coming who have not come to one of the previous seminars, but they've been really long time and careful supporters and followers of the work. So no problem having them come. It'll be very welcome for their presence as well. So that's what we're offering. And this is going to be the realest I've ever been.
Hmm. What does that mean to you?
Well, let me be real right this second. I've fashioned most of my life around this idea that if I could just understand things well enough and present it in a way, I could do it in an organized way, I could give people really clear, crisp advice on what to do next. When it comes to the being side of all of this, there's no one path. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. We're all just messy humans with a spiritual side. We make the best of that we can. I've learned some tools that have worked for me and some things that have added richness to my life as well as hardship. Woken up is as every lot of people listening to this will know, being awake is no guarantee of happiness. It's no path to easiness, because once you're aware of what's really going on, that you have your own struggles with it. I've had my own struggles with it. Mm-hmm. And then the struggles of how do I share this with people? And
right.
Do I share it with people? And if so, when and how? And it's not obvious. And so that creates its own levels of distress, if I could put it that way,
yep.
For myself. I find myself really increasingly, I'm going to use this word carefully, infuriated.
Mm-hmm.
With what I see going on in the world. And I have to, in my own life, begin to figure out how do I accept things that I need to accept or release things that I can't do anything about. Basically, the serenity prayer. but fundamentally, how am I going to be given the level of awareness I'm carrying in this world today?
Yes. How are you going to be with what is right now?
Yep.
And what is right now is a big mess where everything is turned inside out in every aspect of society. Everything is inside out and backwards. And when you know that and you can see it, but other people around you aren't seeing it, it's crazy making.
It's crazy making.
It's really painful. And so, awakening to the deeper truth of what's going on is not for the faint-hearted. And it's a real process. And I think that you and I have been grappling with this for long enough now that we have developed some ways that I hope we can share. And, a lot of it that, at least from my end, that practice of being with what is one of the most valuable things to practice, regardless of what's going on in the outside world. Because we know that even without the outer world, as it is being completely insane right now, our own personal lives are going to go through all sorts of waves, crises, good times, bad times. Like, that is just the human experience, regardless of this larger pattern that we happen to be in the middle of right now.
Yeah. So let me, here's how it's real for me. You know, I came across, this Hopi elder speaks. It's the Hopi prophecy. And I'm just going to start with this because, let me tie this in and tell you how this relates to this course that we're holding. And by the way, just so we know, it's called Peak Prosperity Advanced Course, Developing Your Emotional and Social Capital at Row in Massachusetts this November, November 9th through November 12th. That's Thursday to Sunday. And it's going to be a fairly deep dive, again, a smaller group than we normally carry, and we're doing that on purpose this time. And so this Hopi prophecy reads, "You have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour. And there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other. And do not look outside yourself for the leader.
Mm.
Now, when you talk, Becca, about how am I going to be and accept what is, let me tell you that accepting what is doesn't, for me, mean that I'm okay with it.
Oh, no.
So some data just came out this week, which was that in Germany, they finally run the numbers and the scientists had discovered that winged insects, so that's all they could study, was just stuff that fell in their traps over a very long period of time, have declined 79% in mass because they were just sort of weighing them since they started the study.
Mm.
It's over the past decade or so. So I look at that, I'm just filled with grief at that. I just, yes. So how do I accept, how am I going to be with what is?
Yes.
I'm infuriated by that. I'm saddened by it. I have lots of things around that, but I'm not okay with it.
Right.
All right.
I'm really glad to hear that.
I'm just not okay.
You're not okay with that.
Not. I'm not. And I don't accept it as that's how things have to be, need to be, or are going to be.
All right.
And still, how am I going to be with that information?
I think it's more, how are you going to be with the feelings that you have about the information? How do you be with the rage? How do you be with the sadness and the grief? That's the being place right there, is with the emotional response to what is in the outside world. And that can be tricky, because a lot of times those feelings feel uncomfortable in our bodies and we don't know what to do with them. And we want to shut them down, numb it out, watch TV, have a drink. Any of these things to escape the feelings that we have that are in relationship to this crazy world.
Right. Right. So that's what this seminar is about. That's, and if not this one, then future work as well. When I talk about the being part, what I care about is, are there things I can be doing so that I can be more present, more connected, more alive in this moment, so I can bring my gifts to the world? Because the last line I've skipped a little in that Hopi prophecy is, we are the ones we've been waiting for. And it couples with that idea of, don't look outside yourself for the leader. This is a time that's calling everybody to greatness. And there's a couple of paths you might take. One is to say, it's too much. I can't look at it. I can't handle it for a whole wide variety of reasons. Some of them legitimate, some of them not. People, whatever, they just end up in a place of saying, can't go there.
Yeah.
But for those of you listening who already are there, know that you have a special responsibility. Know that it's not okay that insects are disappearing, or that young people are starting to wave their hands and say, I don't see hope in the future. Knowing that that's not an acceptable condition, even as we have to be with our own humanness around that, that's what this seminar is about. And I wish there was, we had the perfect answer and I'd love to be able to deliver the solution, because that's kind of how part of me is built, but that's not it. This is about getting together and beginning to wrestle as a community with these sorts of things, because this is the work of our times. It's extraordinary what's going on. It's extraordinary how much is being asked of us if we dare to heed that call. It's amazing. So for me, what I've learned and what I want to begin to transmit, and remember when Tom Pearson at the seminar last year, he said, I'll do a bad Texas accent. He's like, damn, Chris, it's like you telepathy right into my head, right down into my heart. Tom, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but that's how I heard it.
Yeah, there was a transmission last year that happened that Tom really named. And it was you speaking from a different place than you had spoken before. And it was speaking from your heart. And so this really is, I mean, that is the center point of beingness, is being in our heart. What does it mean to feel right now?
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got a lot of tools that you can impart and transmit as well in your very own path and very own sets of learnings around all of this. And so I'd be interested to hear you talk about those now, and also to note for people that this isn't Chris and Becca Martinson showing up. These are two very different people, each with their own unique viewpoints and things to add into this, showing up to hold space in this and impart what we can. I have a fairly masculine approach to all of this, instead of reactions. So I think I know how to speak to the men in the crowd.
Well, and I also want to differentiate between masculine and feminine and gender. because this is—it's not actually about masculine and feminine gender.
Point.
It's about the archetypal energies of. I'm going to use yang and yin because it takes it out of the gender, but that yang energy, which is that forward motion, direct, straight line, I'm going from here to there, that's that masculine energy. And the yin energy is the nothingness. It's the void. It's the flow. It's the water. So they're different energies, but it's not necessarily identified with the gender, because you and I and all humans on the planet carry both of those qualities. It's just how much of each one do we carry and where do we carry those in our life. So yeah, you have been taking a very intellectual approach all of these years to this process, right? You saw it a long time ago, many decades ago, and you're like, this is not right. What do I do about this? I need to tell people. I'll gather the right information and I'll give it to people. And what you found along the way is that that's a great step for the people that can change based on information. But most people actually don't change based on information. And so you moved into the doing phase. Okay, well, what can we just do? What can we tell people to do that will at least reflect a different paradigm, which is what the eight forms of capital is based on? So the doing comes from this place of a holistic approach. And then now you get to this life stage. And you're aware that the being, how am I going to be with all of this, is underlying all of the other two. Now, in my life, I flipped it. So in the past years that you have been focusing on the information, I've been focusing on the beingness. So this is what we both bring. We're both kind of coming from each ends of this and then coming together in this seminar. So for me, the beingness, being with what is an embodied practice.
What does that mean for you?
That's already a really hard thing right there, because we are actually, most people in our culture are basically trained not to be in our bodies in a physical way, not to feel all of the feelings. We're, you know, it's numb it, shut it down, disassociate it, get it out of here. That's much, much more common. So even the concept of feeling, period, can be really hard for people. So there's a whole spectrum of learning about how to be in tune and in relationship with your body. But what I've found over my extensive work on this over this last decade is that the body is one of the most finely tuned instruments on the planet for assessing what is good for you, what is not good for you, what is your intuitive response to something. So it's helping people use the body as a tool for developing their intuition and their deepest knowing about what is true for them.
So an example, how do you use this?
Okay, so for an example, when someone comes to me and they're trying to make a decision, and they have two paths in front of them, and they're thinking a lot about it, and they have pros and cons on both sides of the paths, and they seem to be equal, and you can't decide. I'll bring them into their body and say, how does that one feel? When you feel forward into that path, what do you notice in your body? And it might be something like, I notice an expansiveness. I feel light. I feel open. And then if they feel into another path, it might be something like, actually, I feel a little constriction. I feel like a tightness in my throat. I feel like I want to hunch over a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the body is able to provide the deepest wisdom about what is the correct course for the person. So I've done that a million times. It is so effective because it gets the material, the information that the mind has is actually a thin skim compared to the depth of wisdom that the body carries. So the tools that I carry is teaching people how to be in their bodies, how to listen to their bodies, and how to develop a communication, a dialogue with the body.
Yep.
So that's just one of the tools. But right now, given the massive place of transition that we are in currently on the planet, with the massive waves of death, this is a big death that we're in right now. And the 79% of winged insects loss over 10 years in Germany is one tiny pixel on the huge wave of change that is happening on the planet right now. Mm-hmm. How do each one of us in our own personal lives want to be in relationship with this? How can we make our lives meaningful? How can we find meaning in the midst of this. Now, you and I live in New England, and mm-hmm. so we know in the land of four seasons that, you know, when we come to the fall and the leaves are dropping off and the energy is going from the external parts of the trees, from the branches down into the roots, everything is kind of hunkering down. All of the energy is going down into the earth because we're getting ready for winter when everything appears to be dead. That's a life stage that's essential to our way of life here. We can't skip it. We can't skip winter in New England. We can't skip it. There's a reason we have forest fires. There's a reason that forest fires will come in through an area and sweep it clean because new growth comes. So there's an aspect of being with the death that is now, that is facing each of our own deaths, which is never comfortable. But why avoid it? It's going to happen to all of us at any point anyway. So if we can turn into this, if we can turn into our own death, if we can turn into the many deaths that are happening on the planet right now, then we can, Stephen Jenkinson speaks to this so beautifully. Mm-hmm. It's like we can be in our life so much more. Like, okay, we are living in a time of massive change when everything is inside out and all of the systems are completely backwards. How do we choose to be alive right now? Because we have to choose. This is a time of choosing. This is not some passive time, let's just get washed around. We need to choose how we want to step forward in every day in our life in relationship to what is. That doesn't mean denying it. That doesn't mean saying I'm not going to look at. It's holding all. Yes, this is the time that we live in right now, and a lot of it really sucks.
Well, you know, to continue out with the part I skipped over on the Hopi prophecy part, this Hopi elder continues by saying, this could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast, and it is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid, and they will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are torn apart and will suffer greatly. Now, the river has its destination, and the elders say, we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above water. And I say, see who's in there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. So this river's flowing. Everybody can sort of feel that, how fast that mm-hmm. events are moving and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I understand there's this anxiety and fear that comes if you're not aware that you're in this river,
yeah.
and you're struggling against it in some way,
that's right.
or you feel like you need to be upstream and mm-hmm. you're not ready to go downstream and all of that. So yeah, this is a time where I think one way we could approach this period is with tremendous anxiety, and the other is with tremendous exhilaration.
Yes.
This is a really exciting time to be alive. I mean, yes. But we got to rotate the cube.
That's right.
We got to look at it totally differently.
That's right.
But our culture, in an unexamined way, would say you need to be very, very afraid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because we take that message in, bad things happen. Now, I have a piece of data which was in the Wall Street Journal a while ago, and they had a timeline showing from the 60s to current all the mass shootings. This is in response to the Las Vegas horrible event that happened. And what you see is a dot, about 10 years, and another dot, and the dots were the size of the shootings, another dot, a couple of dots,
uh-huh.
and then there's the Great Recession, and it's just dot, 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 dot.
Since 2008?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? So we had the Orlando shooting, the Las Vegas shooting, the this, that, the this, that. And so I can look at that and I can clearly say that I live in a culture that's been marketing fear to itself, has mm-hmm. been selling us a brand of hopelessness, and that certain individuals, notably men,
mm-hmm.
snap and yeah. do awful things
yes.
because they're holding onto the shore in some way. They don't understand, like they're trying to make sense of a nonsensical world. It's like growing up with a parent who's treating you horribly, and as a child you can't make sense of that, so you have to concoct this crazy ass story to sort of make it make sense, right? But it doesn't fundamentally make sense on a deep level. So there is a huge amount of anxiety that's building up in people, but mm-hmm. that's because we're ingesting poison.
Yes.
Like metaphorically and literally, literally in terms of the foods we eat in many cases, but
yes.
metaphorically in terms of the fear. Like this is something I notice when I go to other cultures, they are not marketing fear to themselves.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
It's just not part of it. So, but that happens in the United States a lot. So part one is having that context of saying it's understanding that you said we have choices. A different word I use for that at a slightly outer layer is consent. Am I going to give my consent to be manipulated, my consent mm-hmm. to, like, I don't ingest any of these other ideas. Like, if somebody's screaming at me that I have to be outraged because Russians hacked the election, I'm not going to take that in without consent.
That's right.
I'm going to look at it. I'm going to say, does this make sense? Is this real? Do I want to eat this particular sandwich right now?
Yes.
Or not. And often I say, no thanks. Right?
Yes, that's right.
So that's one of the tools that I've got is to keep stuff out. It's an active, conscious part of mm-hmm. of talking about what am I going to accept in? Because if I'm not careful, it just comes in by itself. Right. But I think that to be in this period of time when things are changing so rapidly, the clinging stuff is a surefire recipe for suffering.
Well, and what you're describing here too gets to another one of these lines in this Hopi prophecy, which is you need to trust yourself. I mean, this goes back to to the missive way back, you know, in the early days.
Yeah.
Trust yourself, right?
Yeah.
So how can we be our own authority? You know, one of the things that happens in our culture is we are trained to look outside of ourselves for the authority. And that has to be turned right back inside. And we need to look inside our own selves for our own authority, which is what you're describing there when you say something comes in and you look at it from all angles and decide which aspects of this are true for you. And that, I think, is a phenomenal tool because there's so much I don't want to swear online, but you know, there's a lot of, you know, bullshit out there in terms of the material that's coming through. How does one assess? How does one figure out what is true? And this is where I feel the body is a really good indicator because it will tell you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It will definitely tell you.
So that's one of the tools. And another tool that I've got, which has been very good for me, is learning how to separate two R's from each other. The first R in this story is reaction. That's what you're talking about in your body, the reaction. My body reacts all on its own. I'll feel a constricted chest feeling. I'll feel butterflies in my stomach. I'll feel a bloom of something, you know, that I can just call a very intense emotion. I'll separate that reaction from the response.
Mm-hmm.
And the response is the story I attach to that. So that blooming sensation that comes out of the middle, I might say, that's anger because dot, 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 dot. The reaction's real. The response is something I get to choose. And you get to try different sorts of things on for that. So to separate those two pieces is good. Of course, if you have those welded together, that's when they send you to anger management class or something else because the reaction and the response become one thing. Right? So, you know, this explosion of emotion that might happen, whatever it happens to be, whether it's, you know, depression, rage, anger, mm-hmm. whatever. So for me, learning how to separate reaction from response, very important, and still practicing at it. But it's been a really good thing. So to be able to transmit that and really spend some time talking about that, and we did at the last seminar. But again, that was like knowing, doing, and being all smashed into one spot. So it wasn't really time.
Yeah.
To this being stuff takes time.
Yeah, and we want to have spaciousness during the seminar. A lot of times in our seminars, it's like, okay, boom, open boom, boom, up. Boom. We're gonna get ready to drink from the fire hose. Here we go. You know. But this we want to be able to go deeper with people. We want to be able to create a really nice container of safety so people can really express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, so much of people so frequently feel alone with both their reactions and their responses.
True, yeah.
I feel alone. I'm the only one that feels this way. I mean, this has been true for all of our seminars, and we've been doing this at Roe for 12 years now, that people, the first thing people say is, oh, I don't feel so alone. I am in the room with other people that feel this way. So we're going to take that and bring it down to a deeper layer of connection so that we can really feel connected to each other. Because this isolation, this false isolation that's set up in our society is not healthy for us. We're meant to be in relationship with each other. So to get to that deep place with each other, with spaciousness, with time to be in nature. I mean, Roe is a beautiful, beautiful place on a very sacred mountain, and we hardly have time to let people go have a walk when we're normally doing our seminars. So, you know, to give people the time to just breathe and be in nature and put aside their life for just a few days, just leave your life behind for a few days, enter into another world with us, And when you go back, I feel pretty confident in saying people will feel more grounded in themselves and rejuvenated in a new way. And I don't even quite know how we're going to provide that, but I have a feeling that's going to happen because it's a group process. It's not like we're coming in as the experts. We have a lot of experience with a lot of things that we're going to share, but the experts will also be in the rest of the room with us. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to pull out everyone's expert knowledge and experiences so that we're all sharing with each other.
Absolutely. Now, this is November 9th through 12th. So if you're on the fence about this, if you're thinking, maybe I should go, you should go. You should come. And I remember last year there was a woman who came up who was who described herself as somebody who was very involved in activist causes and said that even the parts that she got harvested from that one, she said, wow, this is the most amazing tool set for activists ever. Mm. Because, of course, these are frontline people who are bringing themselves out, trying to bring change to the world.
Yeah.
And that's hard work.
Yes.
And not always appreciated and all sorts of other things. So if you can become your own authority, if you mm-hmm. can do, you know, if your source of fuel for this is not coming from outside of you, but from inside, mm-hmm. right? That's really part of the message that we're bringing forward here. And you made a great point, which is we'll create the container. You and I have a lot of experience. We'll definitely be bringing our magic to the room, but other people will be bringing their magic and together we'll create something. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a good time. However many people show up, we're going to have an amazing time.
Yeah.
But these are amazing times. And yes. So my personal request is for those people to come who are ready for this. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it's time.
Yeah. Listen into your body. Do you feel it?
It's time. It's just time. Make the space, clear out the calendar, show up. You will not regret it. It'll be amazing and powerful because this is really, the times are calling for it, you know, for the people who aren't aware of just how turbulent it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could you not? But I guess some people aren't. But at any rate, it's just, it's a really amazing time to be alive. And it's only going to get more amazing, I think, as we go forward. I think we're in the calm before the storm stage. Mm-hmm. So and this is the part where I feel like I wish I could do more. I see people who are struggling with conditions as they are. Mm-hmm. And my belief is the conditions are only going to get harder. Mm-hmm. And so the struggle will become harder.
Yeah.
As accordance with that. But truthfully, things aren't actually all that hard right now from a Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, area. Even if you're earning $11 an hour, I could work for 1 hour, giving my $11, I could go down and I could find a way, maybe it might be beans and rice, to basically buy enough food to get by for a week. Won't be good. I'll be very unhappy with my eating, but that's an amazing time of human life to be alive, right? We can still $500-$600 fly halfway around the world. That I can communicate with people through my smartphone. There's like all this ease and yet all this dis-ease with that.
Yes.
You know, so it's working, but it's not working, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's already creating tension and stress right now, I actually think there's a better world in front of us. I actually think there's a better life. It might have fewer smartphones in it. Mm-hmm. I think that there's going to be a time to be more connected, more alive, mm-hmm. more full of gratitude, more all of those things. But these are things that I personally can't, you know, we talked about that interagency. I still find I have more of those things in my life when I have other people around me who are amplifying and sharing those
yes.
with me.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that better life that you're talking about is possible right now inside you. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, there's no time before, like, you know, this is not a future state. This can be a present state. And that's the choosing part that I'm talking about. If we choose it, it can be so. And you're right. It is about what is the meaning that we're going to apply to things as they're happening. What is a meaning that we can apply that can be life affirming for us rather than life denying?
Yep. All right. So I want you to come if you're listening to this and you feel called to. And if you've been to a Roe seminar before with us, you know, just sign up. And if you haven't, just reach out and we'll have a quick discussion around that. You can reach out to us at, I guess, my email, chris@peakprosperity.com. Just put Roe in the subject line and we'll just set up a phone call and we'll talk it through. If you've been a longtime subscriber on the site or member, I'm sure it'll be fine. And probably otherwise too, if you've been in this territory for a while and any of this really resonates for you. So the reason we're really keeping this small and we want to keep it to people who are really ready for this is, this is going to be a big output and very, really, extraordinary. And I personally want to find my like my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Who's ready for this, right?
Yeah. Let's do this together. Let's engage. Let's do it.
Right? You know, the casual tourists, I'll sit in the back of the room and maybe I get something from this. Mm-hmm. Not interested in having that person there. I want the people who are ready to roll up their sleeves and dive into this. Mm-hmm. And let's do this because it's time.
It's time.